Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We're nearly there, folks. Just over a week to the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Paris. And just listen to how big Team Ireland is. 23 track and field athletes, 10 boxers, 7 cyclists, 7 equestrians, 16 rowers, 3 canoers, 4 golfers, 4 sailors, 12 swimmers, gymnasts, martial artists, divers, 2 rugby teams and a hockey team. Now, surely, if you throw that much talent at an Olympics, a gold medal or two is going to stick to a few of them. So who are our big chances of gold? What sports are the ones to watch? And is Paris ready for the big event? I'm joined by Greg Allen, RTE commentator, Emma Pearson, editor of The Local in Paris, and Cathal Mullaney, sports broadcaster. Greg, whisper it. Don't jinx it, but you have to be optimistic.
On the athletic side of things, I guess, which is probably the area that I have probably the most, if I have any sort of ability to predict, there is the prospect of a medal on the track for the first time since Sonia O'Sullivan in 2000. On a broader scheme of things, between 4 and 7 medals is hugely realistic and probably targeted is the territory. But I'm obviously, as athletics commentator, really focused on Rashida Adeleke. I think that she's got a great chance not just of winning a medal at 21 years of age. I think she's got a reasonable shot at winning the gold medal. And I almost use those words without, you know, trying to whisper them. But obviously, talking to you, I have to say them. And the reason is because effectively the top two of the top two athletes in her discipline, the 400 meters, are not actually competing in the 400 meters at the Olympics. Now, that might seem odd, but the reason being is that the fastest woman in the world this year is Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone of the United States, and she is the world record holder and Olympic champion in the 400 meters hurdles, and she is prioritizing the 400 meters hurdles. And the world indoor record holder for the flat 400 meters, Femke Bol of the Netherlands, she is also running in the 400 meters hurdles. So that's kind of a parting of the season away for a number of athletes to walk through or run through, of course, as they'll be doing, with the very strong possibility that any one of four could be the gold medalist. And Rashida Adeleke is in that conversation. And not just in that conversation. One of the reasons why I think she's strongly in the conversation, and this is not just me, I'm speaking to international athletics journalists about this, who are hugely excited by the talent that is Rashida Adeleke. And you'll see lots of posts on social media from the likes of Michael Johnson, the great Michael Johnson, the 1996 Olympic champion over the 400 meters, hugely admiring the talent that she has. And it's only getting going, this talent, because she's only 21. She only turned to the 400 meters 2.5 years ago. Normally 400 meter runners tend to be, if they come from 100 meter and 200 meter background initially, which Rashida came from, they tend to mature 3-4 years into their 400 meter training. So she's just getting better and better and better. Whereas the others like Marlene Parligno of the Dominican Republic, who's the world champion, and Natalia Kaczmarek, the European champion, who beat Adeleke in those European championships in Rome, they are probably at the peak of their career. And the question is, how much is Rashida Adeleke progressing during the current season? And how is her peak for the Olympic Games going to be reached and achieved? And I
there's
think
another question, though, isn't there, Greg, about divided loyalties for Rashida between the relay and the individual event. Which is going to take priority, do you think?
Well, this is the point that I'm trying to make, is because she is an extreme medal hope in the 400 meters individual race, that means that she'll have to start thinking about how she treats the mixed relay. Because of the mixed relay, I think it's fair to say she is the star, although there are a number of stars. In fairness to our mixed relay team, it is a wonderful band of brothers and sisters. But she is the star. She is the X factor. She is the difference between the team medaling and not medaling. So the configuration of the timetable in the Olympics is very important because of the fact that the mixed relay happens on day 2 and 3 of the athletics roster. And then you have the individual heats of the 400 meters 2 days later on day 5, the semi-finals on day 7, the final on day 9. It's a lot of races. And obviously Rashida Adeleke does not want to be compromised in her individual campaign at the Olympic Games by having, say, 2 mixed relay legs in her leg from the qualification round and also the final. So this is the the likely scenario, certainly it's the fingers crossed scenario, is that she will not run in the semi-final. I think everybody would realize that to run two races before the individual 400 meters in the relay would be too much to ask of Rashida Adeleke, because every race diminishes a certain amount of freshness in your legs. So the hope is that the quartet, which would possibly be Sophie Becker, Charlene Mosley, Thomas Barring, and Chris O'Donnell, that they would qualify the team in the mixed relay for the final. And then Rashida would step in for the final on the third day of the Olympics athletic roster. And then Adeleke comes in to run in the individual event from day five onwards. It's a big roster of races that you'll have at the Olympic Games.
Now, Rashida Adeleke taking all of the attention, as always. Let's just talk very briefly about Ciara McGeehan, and is her form likely to coincide, do you think, with next week?
Both Ciara McGeehan and Rashida Adeleke finished fourth of the World Championships last year, which were a pretty good barometer of what to expect. The only difference is that Rashida Adeleke has gone forward from her championship running last year, this time last year. She is a better athlete, statistically on time. Ciara McGeehan is the European champion in the last month or so at 1500 metres. Now, she's been at altitude, and sometimes altitude is difficult for an athlete to get exactly right in terms of stepping down from altitude and running races while they are at altitude. And Ciara McGeehan has run a couple of races in Monaco and in Paris. Neither of them went as well as she'd like. So some people are thinking, well, maybe she's not back at her peak. But really, all that matters is how she is on the start line when she gets the Paris Olympics. And she was fourth in the world last year, ran the race of her life, had three athletes better than her, did nothing wrong. The chances are she'll go to the Olympics, I think, in good enough form to reach the final. And then it's a matter of, you know, three Ethiopians in the top five of the world rankings. They are just dominating the women's 1500 metres. And of course, as well, you have Faith Kipyegon, who is far and away the gold medal favourite, possibly in any event of the Olympic Games. She is that much better than everybody else in the field. But there is a chance. Once she steps on the line of the final, she has a chance of a medal, no question about it. Fourth in the world's last year shows that.
Stay with us. I want to talk to you about the golf in a little bit, but Cottle first, or secondly to you, excuse me. Is this the largest Team Ireland that we have ever sent to the Olympics?
Yes, and over, I think, 120, you ran through them there at the start, Philip. It's a huge team, and the breadth and depth of the talent across the various disciplines is remarkable.
Is it artificially bumped up by the fact that there's the two rugby teams
and the
hockey team?
Well, you've got teams involved, and you mentioned golf as well, which is a newer kind of Olympic sport in the last few years. But I think the big thing from the Irish team that's being sent this time is the depth of the talent across the various disciplines, and you've spoken about the athletics there with Greg. But beyond that, there are medal hopes across the board. Okay. I think six in London was the record. I think that's certainly a target to be beaten this time.
Let's talk about boxing then. Do you think Kelly Harrington could potentially do what Katie Taylor wasn't able to do?
Potentially. Certainly off the back of her success last time around will be one of the key names. I think 10 boxers you mentioned being sent to the games this time around, but Kelly Harrington, having been champion in her discipline last time around, won bronze at the European Championships in Belgrade this year. Now, that was her first defeat in a while. So it's going to be very competitive and difficult always to retain your title, but certainly will be there or thereabouts.
And notable that we have boxers in, I think, nearly all of the weight divisions this time, as opposed to just the flyweights and the welterweights where we have dominated in the past. Talk to me about our rowers now. Paul O'Donovan looking like a medal hopeful.
Well, one of the top rowers in the world, Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy in the double sculls. They won gold in 2021. Paul O'Donovan won silver with his brother Gary in 2016. They've been the standard bearers over the last number of years in rowing, and they would be a huge medal hope again this time around. Now, they did only win bronze, I say only bronze, at the men's doubles at the World Cup in Lucerne earlier on this year. The Swiss and Italian crews finished ahead of them there, so that might suggest that it'll be more competitive this time around.
In about 10 days' time, I think the country is going to be awash with pommel horse experts. Everybody is going to know about Reece McLenehan and the pommel horse. What are his chances?
Very good. He comes in back-to-back European and world champion, has been superb since the last time at the Olympics when he had a bit of a miss mishap in the final when he lost his balance a little bit, and that put an end to his medal hopes on that occasion, but has spoken about his mental resilience, about the fact that he feels that he still has room to improve even with the success since the last Olympics. So I think he certainly is one to watch out for in terms of, if we're talking about gold medals, I think Rhys McLennan will certainly be one to watch out for.
Large equestrian team going as well.
Yeah, equestrian discipline that Ireland has done very well in the past, and will hope to do so again. You've got, we mentioned the golfers, you'll speak about those in a second, and then Daniel Whiffen in the swimming is someone that has been breaking records left, right and centre over the last little while, has added the 10-kilometre outdoor swim to his schedule for Paris as well in the River Seine, which is a very interesting race, 10 kilometres in the open water, but is the world champion in 800-metre freestyle and the 1500 metres as well. So again, another huge gold medal prospect.
Now, you have introduced the Seine there, which means it's an opportune moment to introduce editor of The Local, Emma Pearson, into the conversation. Emma, good morning to you. Have they managed to, after their 1.4 billion euro cleanup operation, actually clean up the Seine?
Good morning. Yes, they have. The mayor of Paris went for a swim in the Seine yesterday, which is kind of the symbol that it's clean, and at the moment it's good to go for the event. So we're kind of hoping that it'll stay at the levels it is at the moment, which is that it's, you know, it's passing all of the clean water tests that you need to do and be open for the games.
And the problem there might be, if there was to be a large amount of rain, could introduce more E. coli than they want into the river. What's the forecast looking like?
At the moment, the forecast is looking okay. It's basically, the problem is, if we get these really, really heavy summer rainstorms, sometimes the sewage system kind of doesn't quite cope, and so water goes into the river. So if the weather stays normal, I think we'll be fine. If we get, you know, very heavy thunderstorms or whatever, that's when there may be a problem. But having spent about a year saying there is no plan B, they've now revealed that actually there is a plan B. So if the Seine is not good enough, and it looks like at the moment that it will be, but if the Seine is not clean enough, then we move to a water park called Versaman, which is just slightly out of the city centre.
Oh, very good. Reassuring to hear that. The unions were threatening quite a bit of industrial unrest in the run-up to this. Have they all been bought off with Olympics bonuses?
Mostly, yes. It does seem like pretty much everyone in Paris is getting a bonus during the Olympics, apart from me, actually. But yeah, so the big public sector unions, they did all of their negotiating kind of earlier in the year. So that will be things like train drivers, metro drivers, air traffic controllers, that kind of thing. They have all had deals now. So we might get some industrial action from the smaller unions. So we said this morning that the union representing some of the dancers for the opening ceremony has threatened strike action, but I don't really know how much effect that is actually going to have on the visitor experience. So it does kind of look like, touch wood, that things will be all right with strikes.
And from where you're sitting, does it look like it's going to be a special event? 100 years on from when it was last there, the place where the city, where the idea of the Olympics was originally dreamed up by Baron de Coubertin.
Yeah, it really does. Just in the last week or so, you can really feel the atmosphere has kind of lifted now that we're within sight of the opening ceremony, just over a week to go. I was down in the city centre yesterday, just by the river, where they've all got the riverbanks are all prepared for the opening ceremony. Everything there looks like it's prepared. The fan zones are open. There's flags all over the city, and the sort of the emphasis is very much on that. You know, this is going to be a party. This is going to be fun. Obviously, for the athletes, it's very, very serious. But for the people coming here for an event, the idea is that it's going to be great, and also that it's going to really show off Paris, that, you know, we've got these great venues which are right in the city centre and are using some of the most iconic buildings in Paris. So, you know, you've got beach volleyball in front of the Eiffel Tower, you've got the Grand Palais, which is beautiful. The beautiful glass building is going to have fencing in it, it's going to be urban sports in the Place de la Concorde. So we're really going to see Paris, as well as obviously see some amazing sport.
Indeed, Emma, thank you very much. Greg, let me return to you. A man who has commentated on golf all over the world. Have you ever commentated on golf in Paris?
Yeah, at the Ryder Cup in 2018, yeah. And actually, that's the interesting link, because that's the golf course in which the Olympic competition will be held, the Paris National Club, outside of Paris, near Versailles.
Okay.
A fabulous golf course, really tough golf course. It'll be a really, really well-attended Olympic golf competition. In fact, it might be the most important of the Olympic golf competitions so far. Rio, it wasn't obviously a major golf country, isn't a major golf country in terms of the amount of people who play or are fans of the sport in Brazil. Japan was very, very good. They are big supporters in Japan, but it's even more so, I think, in Europe and Paris. You know, being a venue for the Ryder Cup, it'll be a familiar course as well for anybody watching on television, anybody watching on site.
And we're sending some big names in: Leona Maguire, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry.
It's a big medal hope event for us. I mean, when you look at the way Rory McIlroy played in Tokyo, he said, I think famously, he never battled so hard to try and finish third in a tournament. Normally, McIlroy only thinks of winning, but he was in the playoff for the bronze medal. Now, he didn't win the bronze medal. There was quite a few players in the playoff for the bronze medal, and he didn't get it, but he said he never tried so hard to finish third in a tournament. And this is a man who, back in 2016, you know, at a press conference at the Open Championship, said that he didn't really get the Olympics. He thought other sports were far more important than golf, and he'd be watching other sports rather than golf. And then he went to the Olympics in Tokyo, and the penny dropped, changed his perspective 180 degrees, and now really gets the Olympics, really, really wants a medal. But if anybody wants a medal even more possibly than Rory McIlroy, it's Shane Lowry, who absolutely, you know, bleeds his Irish credentials. his Irish flag is all over his golf shoes, you know. So from the men's point of view, we've got two really strong irons in the fire. McIlroy is the world number two. Shane Lowry, as we know, is an Open champion from 2019, the world number 33, one of the serious contenders. Leona Maguire, you know, she only won just recently, a few weeks ago, on the Ladies European Tour, so she's showing a bit of form. And Stephanie Meadow is someone who's finished third in the US Open. So we've got four proper chances of medals, okay, in the golf competition.
I don't want to get you to, either of you, to do silly hostage to fortune kind of predictions here, but when you cross your fingers, when you hope for a good following wind and a bit of luck, how many medals do you think that we might end up coming away with at this Olympics? Greg, first.
I actually did a count on this. I mean, it could be into double figures if absolutely everybody achieved what they could achieve, because we have that many proper medal contenders. But I think we're looking at improving on the medal count. I think it was six last time out. So seven would be, I think, a really good return. Anything more than that would be gravy. But the thing is, these days, Philip, we don't have kind of this feeling anymore that, or our athletes don't have this feeling anymore, that they are in any way less well prepared than athletes from huge countries like the United States. States or, you know, European countries who have institutes of sport that are more developed than ours in terms of time they've been in place. Our Institute of Sport, our National Sports Campus, they are world-class facilities. We are producing on a broad spectrum athletes and sports people who can achieve at the highest level, and we've also got the best sports psychologists working with them as well to make them believe that as well if they need that help.
Okay.
As well, it is proper preparation for the Olympic Games nowadays for the Irish team.
So anything more than seven is gravy, you say, Cathal?
Yeah, I think six would be the target to beat, and I think it's definitely possible when you look at the disciplines we've mentioned there: golf, swimming, gymnastics, rowing, boxing, athletics. Across all of those, genuine medal hopes, and beyond that as well. So I think six the target to beat, and I think that Ireland will beat it this time around.
All right, Cathal and Greg and Emma as well, thank you very much. Petrol prices back and forth across the border after the break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.